This episode is brought to you by the Focus Features film, Hamnet. From director Chloe Zhao and producer Steven Spielberg and Sam Mendes, discover the untold story behind Shakespeare's greatest masterpiece. Winner of more audience awards than any film this year, Hamnet is a monumental cinematic experience. And now, it's the Critics' Choice Award winner for Best Actress, Jessie Buckley. Hamnet is the best picture of the year. Hamnet, rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13, now playing only in theaters.
Hello and welcome to episode 536 of Contending at the Water Cooler. I am your host, Clarence Moy, and I am joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Joey, let's start with you.
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
Energy, energy, energy. Megan.
Keep it up.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me everywhere at Hey Dude Meg.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. So before we get started into tonight's topic, which is the Golden Globes and a little bit of Oscar Best Actress tomfoolery. For those of you who don't follow Joey Moser on Instagram, which you should be following all of us on Instagram, but for those of you who don't follow Joey Moser on Instagram, there was a picture that attracted my attention to, I think it was one of your reels. It was a finger giving the middle finger to the banner for Back to the Future, the musical. And my first thought was, what is Joey posting a picture of Jacoby Jupe get flipping off Back to the Future with that tiny little hand? But then I realized it was your tiny little hand.
One was shocked. I forgot there was a Back to the Future musical, but I was shocked that you hated something, hated a musical.
I was shocked. I didn't think that you would ever walk out of one. And Megan and I
never thought I would either.
Megan and I were talking before you joined, and we likened that to us walking out of a Sheryl Crow or Stevie Nicks concert.
Yeah.
So what happened, Joey?
Yeah, what happened?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for giving me the space to tell my story. So Jason and I are subscribers to the Broadway series in Columbus, the PNC Broadway, whatever. We have sat through some shit. When I say shit, I mean Elf the musical. That is probably the worst thing, the worst written show I've ever seen. I didn't realize last season they did Peter Pan, and I thought it was going to be like Peter Pan Goes Wrong, like the Broadway comedy. No, it was like an earnest family Peter Pan, and I felt so cynical sitting there and watching. I did find out later that during Peter Pan, when we were walking back to the car, Jason told me, he's like, well, at intermission, I wanted to tell you that I wanted to leave. And I was like, motherfucker, I told you I wanted to tell you that I wanted to leave, but you, I thought you were like, you know, Jason is has a lot more patience. It doesn't take a lot to have a lot more patience than me. But so Back to the Future, the musical, to me, is a fundamentally stupid idea. Because I didn't know. I was like, oh, it's probably a jukebox musical. Oh, no, it is not. It is not a jukebox musical.
Wait, does it take, is Hans Zimmer music, right? Is Hans Zimmer, no, who does the music from it? Is it John Williams?
No, it's, hold on.
Like, you know, from the movie.
Alan Silvestri. Alan Silvestri did the original score.
I think he did.
No, I mean, it's not like use that music.
Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, no, they use that music, but it's original music, new songs by Alan Silvestri and Glenn Ballard, alongside hits from the movie like The Power of Love and Johnny Be Good. So I will say that this, if you wanted to do Back to the Future, I remember when it came out in London, it was a huge hit. It got, like, I think Olivier Awards, at least nominations, out the ass, I think. And then it transferred to Broadway, and I remember it got these reviews where the reviews were like, well, the car's great. And the car is really cool. Like, the car, like, it's a full car. It drives onto the stage. It, like, whenever he sees Doc at the mall parking lot, it, like, zooms out, gets a huge applause. So the music is so bad. It shouldn't have been a musical. It should have just been a play. It should have just been
a play? Shouldn't it just stayed a movie?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you're going to have one, if you are so compelled to put a fucking car on stage, take away the music, because the music is so generic and so, like, I was literally falling asleep in a show. I'm not kidding. I was like, I'm falling the fuck asleep. I had a light dinner. I wasn't drunk. I was falling asleep. This musical sucks. And the turning point for me was, I should not be looking at Biff's ass.
Wait a minute. What?
Biff had a J-Lo shelf.
Is that written in the script?
No, it's written the script in my mind. And the thing was, I looked over at Jason, and sometimes, like, when we're in a show and I see a hot guy and I want to, this better not be the clip because Jason will see it. When I see a hot guy, like, in a show or in a play or something, I'll just, like, look over and I'll do this. I'll go, like, butt, nice butt. And then, like, the whole time, okay, so the kid playing Marty, God bless him, trying to do a Michael J. The whole, then, so the moment where I was going to be decisive, I was like, I'm not going to be wishy-washy here. If I want to leave, I'm going to say that I want to leave. The moment that I realized that I told Jason that declaratively in intermission that I was going to tell him that I wanted to leave was at the end of the first act, there's like a chase scene set to music. Now, I will say the screens and the visual effects are really cool. Like, there's, it's sort of, you know, those like old timey way that they showed people like running on stage and there was like a crank and the scenery just kind of moves, that kind of looked like, yeah, that, but digitized. And they, the way that they moved the set, it looked cool. But then at one point, Biff and Marty are standing on a set of lockers and Marty McFly pulls out a fucking lightsaber. And it like lights up. I saw him like pull it up from behind the thing and he was holding it like this and just like, motherfucker.
Why?
It's the most masturbatory fan service. The '80s. Like, it's so, it was so shitty. And then, so Jason and I went up to the lobby and I was like, I want to leave. And he was like, I kind of want to leave too. He's like, but I kind of feel guilty. He's like, so we came up with a system. We were like, I was like, if in the second act, if we want to bounce, we will bounce. And I was like, shouldn't we just leave before anyone sees us like getting up? Right. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I don't care. If they see me leave, they see me leave. I really was like, your show sucks. But there was a part where, you know, the part in the movie, I think it's at the very beginning, where you see Doc like come out with that big metal thing on his head. There's a whole song where the ensemble comes out dressed up as Doc in the lab coat and those things. And it's like a number. And I'm like, this is like 30 Rock level bad.
Was it like, I love you, Dr. Seuss? Yes.
I'm not kidding. I tweeted that. It was
I always thought that musical on The Simpsons looked really entertaining, to be honest. Yeah. A breakdancing yeah. And a breakdancing monkey.
He could talk. But it was so odd. It was literally like every time and like I thought it would be really cool if like if you took the music and like maybe you could play around something musically where everything Marty sings is in the like sort of in a slight 80s style and everything that you know.
That's interesting.
His mom would be kind of 50s style. She had the character who plays the mom, you know, just like, oh my God, my mom wants me. Like that joke in 20 minutes was run into the ground. more than like a White Lotus incest joke on Twitter. It's just so, haven't we come a long ways for incest jokes in our entertainment? Hot to cha. But it's like, those songs are kind of, I guess, fine, but it was sort of like a greasy, Grease, like the movie, like kind of inspiration. But I was just like, there's a one point where they all come out and they're all doing their stupid dances as all the doc. I got to find the name of the song. It was so fucking stupid. It just felt like they're just like, we need the ensemble to do something. What can we do? Let's how many? Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, costume department. How many of those fucking helmets can you make? 27? Great. It's called 21st Century. It's like, if somebody took like all the characters from the Big Bang Theory and put them in a blender and they're like, you can sing like a chorus person. Yes, you're in. It's just,
you know what would be a better musical is if they did a musical based on Eric Stoltz playing the original Marty McFly and then him getting cut. And then having him, like, what does he do after that? Like, I would watch that musical. I think it would be very thoughtful and, like, and serious. Like, that would be a play, not Back to the Future.
But it was just, like, so fan servicey and so, and that audience was eating it up. And I was like, I don't feel safe here. I gotta go. And it was just, like,
I picture it, like, in Hamlet 2 with, like, Aaron Brockovich the play, like, I have my phone number is this. Like,
what? Well, it was just like, and then so Jason, an intermission, we ran into a couple people that Jason knows, like this woman who, she's a doctor, she just retired, and I saw him like walk up to her and he literally was like, so what do you think? And they didn't like it either. And I told these two people that I don't know, like, we're probably gonna go. We're probably gonna leave. And the guy was like, yeah, it's not great. I kind of want to see what the end looks like. And so I looked it up on YouTube, and the car floats, and it, like, at the end, at the whatever, it lifts up into the air and it turns, it flips upside down. And
they didn't even do that in the movie, did it?
No. Well, in the very end, yeah, it did.
I guess in the end, when it's like, yeah, but not like. That's weird.
Well, I was so eating it up. I was like, I gotta go.
Not only did it get nominated for a handful of Olivier Awards, which Megan is the pinnacle of London theater. It won Best New Musical against Disney's Frozen and Moulin Rouge the musical, which is a massive crime. It should be explored by Scotland Yard immediately.
It's so like, what's a movie? It's like, hey, we have a really good idea for a musical. Let's make, I don't know, it's like Traffic, but you know, the movie, but with songs.
But you know, the UK,
that's not the same thing, but
I'm gonna get a little bit theater nerdy here. The UK is famous for this. They always have, you talk about Broadway and how terrible, you know, the movie to stage musical latest production is. But the UK says, hold my Guinness, and comes up with stuff like, they did Matilda the musical, they did Groundhog Day, which we've never seen here, I don't think.
It's been here.
Wait a minute. A friend of mine did the musical. I wanted to go see it last year, but I missed it.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm mistaken. They also have The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which has not premiered here yet. Just a bunch of like random stuff that they love.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button. How do you cast that?
Like, hi, we're having a casting call for toddlers
who look like 80-year-old men. They do love a movie turned into musicals, and you know they're all about what is it, Devil Wears Prada right now, which is apparently so bad.
Oh yeah,
come over here. So, anyway,
I picture a woman being like, "Your love interest is this toddler. You have to say goodbye to
like,
him.
Shakes his little hand. She's like, I'm so excited to work with you.
She sings a ballad about his death as the baby dies.
I was so like, I've never felt like I felt so vindicated because I told myself, I was like, that sounds so fucking dumb. And we went in and I was like, maybe I'm being really negative. Maybe I'll like it. Who knows? Maybe it'll be a great time. And then it was just like, I'm sorry, Clarence, this is a paramountly gay reference, but in RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 2, where Dore DeLano wants to quit the competition in episode 1, and the camera gets really close on her face, and she goes, I don't belong here. That was me in that theater. Me in that theater. And I was like, I never thought I would say I don't belong here in a theater space. Oh,
forgive me, you're right. I've totally forgot that Groundhog Day was a thing. But yeah.
Is it like the year before the pandemic? Or was it the
pandemic year? No, it was 2017 was its Tony Awards. And it was nominated for a bunch, so apparently it's good. So forgive me. I just forgot.
Oh, that's right, because the I think the guy who was in the Broadway cast. Andy Carl. Yeah. No, I'm thinking of somebody else. God damn it, Joey.
Danny Rubin. All right. Anyway, this is not theater cast. This is, thank you, Joey, for your detailed explanation of the.
If Back to the Future is coming to your city,
flipping off.
Consider. If Back to the Future is coming to your town, consider getting a root canal instead.
Awesome. All right. So the main topic of this week's podcast is a breakdown of last night's Golden Globe Awards, which were hosted by Nikki Glaser and dominated by one battle after another, but also a host of films won two awards. So we're going to talk about the winners, talk about kind of what we liked about the show, what we didn't like about the show. A very specific thing I did not like about the show.
I think we can all agree on one thing we didn't like about the show. Yeah,
probably so. And then, of course, we are going to then springboard into an overview of the 2026 Oscar Best and Supporting Actress races to see how those things are shaping up. Is Jessie Buckley undefeatable? Or is this Teyana Taylor's to lose now that she won the Golden Globe? So we'll talk about all that in a few minutes. And of course, we'll wrap with a flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And I guarantee you it is not a return to Back to the Future, the musical for Joey. By the way, Joey, I do have to say, I hope you're being safe because every time I turn on the TV, there's some murder that has happened in Columbus, like the dentist and his wife or whatever has been all over the news, soon to be a true crime docuseries, I'm sure.
You mean the dentist and his wife who literally are a 3-minute walk from my house?
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Crazy. And it's funny, when I saw that, I was like, that looks like your neighborhood. When I saw it. It's so sad. It's such a sad, sad story.
And I'll send you a video. I took a video of me driving home to show my coworker how close I live to it. Like, if I go up the street that they live on, I normally turn a street before, like, the near the intersection where their house is. I turn a street before to go to my house, but I can go around there. Like, I could literally be at their house in 5 minutes.
Wow.
On foot.
On foot. All right. Golden Globes. So, let's start with Nikki Glaser as the host.
He's really found a niche. She's fantastic, I think. And she really, I mean, I thought that she kind of nailed the tone of being like roasty, but also kind of nice. Like, even like, you know, admitting that the joke about Leo being, you know, okay, this is the only thing we know about. It is true. It is the only thing we know about him. It was funny. And he was really, a good sport about it too. I thought she really nailed the tone and was also like brutal with the CBS news. Was great. I thought she was fantastic.
I loved her joke about Sean Penn.
Yeah.
Because that made a lot of people uncomfortable. And I think
Wait, what did she say? I can't remember. I'm thinking, maybe I'm thinking of the joke that I saw.
She said that he was something about developing into a handbag. he was aging into a handbag or something to that effect.
Yeah.
It was, you're right. She is roasty, but in a very, very, very polite and sort of after her monologue or during the middle of her monologue, I texted Joey and I said, this is Tina Fey, Amy Poehler level good. I don't think she kept up that comparison the whole night. I don't think she had anything that was quite as biting as the George Clooney gravity joke. That is an old timer for me personally.
Yeah,
but, me too.
But she was excellent. I would give her a strong B+, A minus. Joey?
Yeah, I was gonna say I'd give the whole show that, but we can talk about that too.
Sure.
I loved her. I want her. She can host as many times as she wants. I don't know if it's like because she's like a really gorgeous, like blonde white girl who like can get away with being like, "Hi, you're a piece of shit." I don't know. I don't know if it's that, but like, what's the thing? She said, the thing about I like the other Sean Penn joke. I thought that was funny about like his humanitarian work. Basically saying that you go to other countries and you do cocaine there. I thought that was, I was like, holy fuck, like you went like that. But like, I don't think I've ever seen. I saw someone say on Twitter, she was like, someone said, okay, something's wrong. She got Sean Penn to laugh at himself. Like, what the fuck? Like, what dimension are we in?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I thought that was great. I thought the whole monologue was really spot on. I think the whole thing with George Clooney and she's like something about her Nespresso machine. I thought that was great. I love her. I could have her back. She's pretty fearless in my opinion. She's very quick.
I think she's also very comfortable in that crowd. She's not afraid to poke funs, but she's also friends with a lot of people in the room. So they all know that this is the business. And it also helped that we have recuperated from the, you know, COVID era and Globes controversies that we have a room full of celebs now. Again, Julia Roberts, George Clooney, Sean Penn. I mean, I was stunned that Sean Penn actually showed up. Just was stars from wall to wall, and it made for a great return, I think, to the ceremony.
I agree. Yeah.
What was the Noah Wiley keeping the only doctor I've seen regularly for the last 35 years? Jacob Elordi and Paul Mescal keep being the same person to my mom. That's great.
Oh yeah. It was, and you
I
know,
the lecture Michael B. Jordan, me be jerking.
God.
In front of his mom.
We were all thinking it. It's fine.
But you know, it wasn't a perfect show. I'm glad that her music number ended up being a bit. Because that was weird and odd, and that felt like filler. Most of her stuff doesn't feel like filler, but that did. That one didn't land quite as well with me. But the I'll just go ahead and say it. The worst thing about the show, in my opinion, were the announcers. Every time someone went up, there was loud applause from the audience. There was loud music that didn't fit the film or the winner at all. And then it was the announcers, Mark Malkin, and who's the other one? Winston, I don't remember who the other one was. Forgive me.
I'll look it up.
Trying to talk over that, and none of it. And they weren't saying anything interesting, and it just completely did not work.
It was Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight and Mark Malkin.
Okay, Kevin Frazier.
You know what? Can I say that the part that was the worst was whenever Timothy Chalamet went up there and they're like, he thanked his Kylie Jenner at the last time he received an award. Will he do it tonight? We'll find out. Like, it was just, it made me think of like the Olympics with like when somebody's about to do a pole vault. So, like, let's see, they need to break, they need to, you know, do this in order to win. It just was like weird. And like, this isn't, I don't need a play by play. I can watch football and hockey and stuff like that, but I don't need that here. And it felt invasive and like, or I guess intrusive in some way. Like, I just was like, let it happen. It was so weird.
It was,
Oof.
they were not, they were just not good. Like, you can have that and that's fine, but they just didn't have anything interesting to say. And I know they think they're being funny and playfully bitchy, like they want to be Anderson Cooper and Andy on, you know, New
Cohen.
Year's Eve, Andy Cohen. But no. And first of all, I don't think anybody was that drunk throughout the entire show, which I do miss about the old Globes. But it just, you know, if you're going to just babble there for 30 seconds, have something interesting to say. That's the biggest offense to me.
Yes. And it also
Yeah.
felt like just a lot going on, like with the song, with them talking, with it, them
And the audience
screaming, and then
noise.
with
Yeah.
the bets. The betting predictions and stuff. It was
Oh,
just kind of
fuck
like,
that.
it felt
That
like
was awful.
overload. It was just like too much, like too much. Go ahead, Joey. I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's the I don't even think I caught. I feel like all the annoying things that I heard that I was just like, anytime I heard, I was like, ugh, was never Kevin Frater. The I just thought that every single thing when Mark Malkin, which again, I don't know, I've never done this obviously, so maybe I would do a shitty job too, but it was just like there was like when I talked to him on the red carpet. They said this. When I talked to them
Yes.
on the red carpet, they had Altoids in their purse. When I talked to them on the red carpet, I was like, shut up. Like,
Yeah.
I don't care. It was just so, it was so frantic at times. Poor fucking Stellan Skarsgård. I was actually just like, get to the stage so I don't have to hear him talking anymore. Please run, Stellan. And that play market thing, get the fuck out of
Looking.
here. See, get the fuck out of here. Megan just did. Megan's a representative of play market. Goodbye, Megan. The play market thing I thought was, or should I wait? Oh no, she's back.
I'm sorry. I just
That's
was
okay.
checking to see if my dog destroyed anything. He's okay.
Oh, he's biding his time.
Yes.
The play market thing, not only did I thought it was think it was incredibly douchey, but I thought that it just sort of like took the wind out of the sails of any potential tension that was in the room
Yes.
for anything. It was like, well, 87,000% say gold, good hang with Amy Poehler's gonna win. And I was like, oh, awesome.
Right. I don't quite. Was it supposed to be gearing towards like men, straight men, like betting? I just don't understand the whole betting concept of why we needed it.
As a
Isn't there a giant
representative of
gambling
straight
problem
men,
in America?
I was not engaged by that content.
Okay, you were not engaged. Okay.
No.
Okay. So who was
I do think there
it for then?
is a someone had an idea that, oh, if we have the betting markets, then the people will think of it more like a sports cast and they'll start to watch it to see if their bets pull through or something like that. I don't know.
I don't want
My
to see
God.
any of that happen again unless there's an Oscar-themed like DraftKings somewhere.
I'm sure
Are
there
we going to
is.
corner the market?
I'm sure
Ugh.
there is.
Yeah.
What they need to do is go back to basics, get a room full of celebrities, and ply them with lots and lots and lots and lots of alcohol. And there, just let it ride. Just let it
Yes.
ride. Get a good
Just
host.
let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some crazy
I want
wins.
the.
Have Natalie Portman win something randomly. You know.
Oh, I don't know. It's just like wheel in like 37 cases of Cristal and lock the doors. We'll see what happens. That's what the Globes should be.
And
I
throw
did
in a
love that.
badger in the middle of the room.
I did love that Ricky Gervais won, and the way Wanda Sykes handled that was so
Yeah,
funny.
that was great.
That was great. There were lots of fun wins and fun presenters too. That was probably one of my favorites. I just liked that one.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see the whole list of winners over at the site on the top stories section. But let's talk about one battle after another. Warner Brothers decided to campaign this film when there were a split of drama and comedy. They decided to campaign this film in the comedy races, which obviously paid off here because it did win. And I think it would have won in drama, just
I think
considering how
so
much
too. Yeah.
they loved it. But it's weird because I just looked in the past 25 years of the Golden Globe history, and some of that, obviously most of that came from a different time and place. Only three films that won the Comedy Golden Globe actually went on to win Best Picture. One was Chicago, another one was The Artist, and the third one was Green Book. And that was the last one in
Cool.
2018. Do you think they, I don't know that the Academy looks and says, oh, that campaign in a comedy. So therefore, I mean, if they like the film, they like the film, they're going to rank it as number one and it's going to win. But it's, do we think that one battle after another still is the front runner? Or,
Yes.
yes. Yeah.
So wait, what won comedy last year? Nora didn't win? What did
Was
Emilia
Emilia
Perez.
Perez.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
Yeah, Nora didn't win that one.
I think that it's still the front runner. I think that yeah, I think that it's got the narrative, the people love it. I think it appeals to multiple audiences. I mean, it's got lots of generational actors that you can find somebody Gen X, boomer, it's just I don't know. I think it's an interesting story, and timely in some way. And I think that it feels like of the moment. It feels like a film of the moment. And I think that it's going to win. And I'm okay. I like that. I would love it if it won.
I also think I agree with everything you said. I also think, when you look at the preferential ballot, it's usually the movie that you can sit everybody down in front of that wins, right? But there isn't anything offensive in here, necessarily. There's nothing that would, it's a long film. That's the only negative thing you can say about it. But there isn't anything that's
Yeah.
content-wise that would turn off audiences or make it a challenging sit for your standard Academy voter. And
That's
I think
true.
the other thing that the Globes did, as happy as I was that Hamnet won in drama, what that win does, I think, and I'm interested to see what you two think about this, is it muddies the water as to who their primary competitor is for one battle after another. Because everybody went into the Gold Globes thinking it was going to be Sinners. But then Sinners got the consolation prize of the Cinematic and Box Office Achievement Award. It didn't win the
Right.
drama prize. So then Hamnet won the drama prize. So then there's a Sinners camp, there's a Hamnet camp, and then there's a one battle after another camp. And I feel like those votes are probably going to be split. I mean, we don't know what the nominations look like, and maybe the Academy really does get behind Sinners in a very big way, which Clayton is predicting 15 nominations for it. But what do you guys think? I mean, you agree, you understand what I'm saying? Do you agree with that? Does
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
that drama win kind of muddy the waters a little bit as to who the primary competitor is?
I'm
That's
surprised, honestly, that Hamnet won. But go ahead, Joey, you go first.
Well, Hamnet is much more traditional than Sinners. Like it's Sinners is a horror drama. I think leading up to the Golden Globes ceremony, I think we were really riding a high of the sort of attention that Sinners has gotten from all of the like regional prizes, and it's shown up, I think, way more than a lot of us kind of expected. Like we all knew it was a really good movie, but it's kind of like, is the Academy going to go for something like this? And I saw somebody on TikTok. I don't know who it wasn't a person I follow, but the person said that they thought that the quote unquote villain of the season was Hamnet when really now the villain needs to be, and we all need to position to make one battle after another become the villain so sinners can win. And I was like, number one, that's weird. That's a weird thing to say. Number two, that's not going to happen. And I will say something that I noticed in some of the advertisements for the print advertisements for Hamnet is that it looks like there was a slight pivot in, I won't say the tone of the ads, because it looks like I saw like a magazine. I can't remember if it was like Variety or maybe I saw it on Variety's website, where before I remember it was being sold, and rightfully so, as this big sweeping emotional, you're going to cry, you're going to, they really leaned into that at the beginning. But then it did feel like now I'm seeing like Jesse Buckley smiling when she's playing with her kids. And I'm seeing they're, I think they're leaning into the, you know, the emotional movie with like with heart, like the movie that you cannot deny has the biggest heart. And which I think is a really great, you know, strategy in terms of like just like strategizing and campaigning, because I do think you leave that movie with a really big emotional payoff. And that like while the and it feels like the other two films, Sinners and One Battle After Another, they've both rightfully so hit home like the filmmaking prowess of it. So I don't, maybe they're like trying to do a different path. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the, and of course this, for those who missed, this podcast is sponsored by Focus Features Hamnet. But if you go look at the ads that were on our website today, they do feature Jesse Buckley with that big smiling face. The one shot in the film, I think of her smiling. It's when she sees the kids playing, doing the witches from Macbeth.
That's a great scene. That's
it is a great scene.
Yeah,
I love that film. Megan, you wanted to add something?
No, I was just gonna say I was surprised that I was happy that Hamnet won. Of course, I'm one of my favorite films of the year. But I was surprised because I wasn't sure that they would. I guess it's hard to predict too with the Golden Globes now. Like, but there is this, there does seem to be something happening with that cinematic. That seems to be the Bridesmaid award. Yes. Like, you know, Barbie was, you know, and they also, it's so weird that Barbie and Sinners both got like that cinematic award and the song, I believe, right? Or like, and like, or obviously Sinners didn't get song, but it got score. So it's just weird to me that it's like that. I mean, but then Hamnet only took home too. But I was surprised because just from some feedback, you know, that people were like put off by Hamnet and it's too much. I agree. I think the strategy of kind of updating it, because it is more than just, it is more than, it's not anything like, what were they calling it? Cry or like, what did they call it?
Like misery porn.
It's nothing like that.
It's not like that.
Yeah, it is. It's deep and it's got a lot going on, and so I'm glad that they did that. But I was surprised. But I think that Sinners, I hate to say it, I do think it's kind of, I'm wondering if it's going to be that Barbie type of play, because even though it's not, it is an original concept. It is vampires, which is not necessarily wholly original, and has been done to death recently in some ways. Even though, I mean, Sinners is a hugely fresh take on that genre, but I do wonder if some people are just like, well, like, I've seen this before in some way.
Something when I was talking to Kevin today, Kevin pointed out, and I completely forgot just because, you know, I've been tabulating all the fantasy Oscar stuff, like, Sinners has been doing, like I said, very well with regional critics. Like, Delroy Lindo, Winnie Misako has really surged in the last like a month or so, but at the Golden Globes, it only got Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
And it got like everything else. It got like screenplay and score and song and everything like that. It didn't get like, this is, I mean, these came out before SAG, but like Miles Keaton didn't get in, Woonmi didn't get in. So maybe we just, maybe everyone just overlooked that. We were just like so excited for Sinners doing so well, and that's why a lot of people predicted it. Maybe.
Well, yeah. I don't think that people, you know, until SAG, excuse me, the actors' nominations came out, that I don't think people really seriously took Wunmi Masuka and Miles Canton as contenders. And so people weren't necessarily put off by that because everybody has only mm-hmm. ever talked about Delroy Lindo and Michael B. Jordan. Delroy Lindo did kind of fade, you know, coming into the critics season, but they were really only talking about Michael B. Jordan. So, but one thing that I would say is don't forget that the Golden Globes is still an international audience. And Sinners is very much mm-hmm. an American, Black American experience story. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though it does talk about the international connections and the music and the culture and the spirit that you bring with you into this immigration experience that became, you know, forced immigration, of course, and with slavery, but that became, you know, the Black America. And then, of course, that doesn't necessarily resonate quite as well, I suspect, with international audiences as it does with American audiences. Now, what that does at the Oscars, I don't know that the international presence of the Academy is growing year by year. So I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a problem seeing Sinners win Best Picture because the first hour of the exploration of music and of Black culture at that time, brilliant, totally an Academy film, but then it just becomes, you know, Evil Dead or the Lost Boys right. in the last 45 minutes. It's a
even though it is an allegory for yes. like for things, but I also think that like I really do think I could have watched Sinners as a 10 episode limited series. I needed to know more about the Native American element that kind of gets introduced and then like tossed aside. But maybe that's like something for a future. I have a feeling that he's got more planned for that, maybe. But I'm with you on that, though. I think that is probably the film's biggest stumbling block is that it's, you know, are you really going to give a best picture to a vampire movie? But even though it's more than that, but
yeah, absolutely. So. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how the nominations come out. We'll see where things go. Of course, you know, we have the Actor Awards, the Producers Guild, the Directors Guild. You know, Directors Guild is going to Paul Thomas Anderson. There's no way he loses that. There's no way he loses the Director Oscar. But it'll be interesting to see if this is kind of an Oppenheimer year where it's just, you know what, give it to one battle after another because this has been his vision and we're going to celebrate this all year long like we have. Or is it going to be split?
Yeah.
Although I don't think One Battle After Another is as, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's as undeniable as Oppenheimer was that year. But
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. So let's, anything else about the Golden Globes?
All right. This has nothing to do with the ceremony, but if everybody can please go look at Amanda Seyfried preparing to clap while she's sort of not paying attention. That's my favorite thing that came out of the whole thing. So sorry. Not to plug my own tweet, but there we are.
I saw that. So talking about Amanda Seyfried, I think, you know, kind of using her as a springboard into our next topic, which is the best actress and best supporting actress races of the Oscar year. I think if Amanda Seyfried was going to make Oscar's top five, she needed to win that award.
I know. I know.
You know, as much as we love this film, I think it's, I mean, personally, I just don't see a path forward because it's not showing up in any guilds. She didn't get a SAG nomination. Sorry, I'm going to call it SAG forever, just like I'm calling Twitter.
I know.
Twitter.
Me too.
So anyway.
Hold on. I'm still listening. Hold on.
That's all right. So, you know, obviously,
I have to check on my baby. Oh, he's eating his bone. He's fine.
So obviously, let's start with actress. This is still Jessie Buckley's to lose, and we've seen nothing that shakes that. Maybe, I mean, I think And I've done a lot of talking. I want you guys to pick up. I'm sorry, I'm just babbling. I had some caffeine for just to prepare, so I'm
For
buzzing
dinner.
from that. I think Rose Byrne's wins get her the nomination, but I just don't see a scenario where Rose Byrne wins Best Actress.
I don't either. I still think it's Jessie Buckley all the way. I mean, I think, and if Hamnet, that could be the only thing Hamnet wins, possibly. And I think, yeah, I don't see Rose Byrne's great in that film, but I also think that film is more divisive than Hamnet, and I think that's a stumbling block. But I think that, yeah, I think Jessie Buckley the whole way.
So
Yeah, the
Alfred Hitchcock.
only.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Jay.
Oh no, I was just saying the only way that I would consider that she wouldn't win is if Rose Byrne pulled out a surprise at SAG actor, whatever the fuck it is, actor, actors. Yes,
The
I'm
Fran Drescher
professional.
Awards.
Oh, I would love that.
Our friend Jalal posed an interesting question to me today, and I don't know that people voting really think about this, but maybe by default they do. Is Focus Features going to get three actresses nominated for Best Actress this year with Jessie Buckley, with Emma Stone from Begonia, or with Kate Hudson from Song Sung Blue?
See,
They'll get two.
I do wonder if Kate Hudson is that fifth one, but I feel like she, I don't know. I feel like she needed to win the musical category here to really solidify it.
She got in at the Actors.
Right, yeah. I don't know. Oh, and
Well,
it
if you
kills
look.
me. I'm sorry, it just kills me because Amanda Seyfried is like also musical and also doing so much in that role. Even though Kate Hudson is fantastic in Song Sung Blue too, but it's a competitive year.
I don't think that they're not, no one can see Testament of Anne Lee. Like, no, I keep seeing
Yeah.
people literally every day. They're like, I would love to see this fucking movie,
Right.
but
Yeah.
it's not playing near me and I don't know when it's going to come. They really, it feels like they kind of dropped the ball on the release of that or thought the quality of the movie and the passion would carry it a little bit. I don't know, which bums me out because I think Amanda Seyfried is so great in that movie. It does feel at this point like a film festival fever dream.
Yeah.
It's like I dreamt of this movie and Amanda Seyfried was wearing a bonnet and she was running through the woods and I don't know if it's real. No, you've never even heard of this film. That's what it feels like. I'm glad that Kate Hudson got a nomination at the Actors Awards because I don't like that movie, but I think she is tremendous in it. I would probably say, in my predictions right now, Kate Hudson is probably sixth.
Who are your predictions then?
I have Jessie Buckley at one, Rose Byrne at two. Renata Reinsva at three, Chase Infinity at four, and Emma Stone at five. Now, I actually will say this isn't a thing with the Actors Awards, like snubbing sentimental value. I have always thought for a couple of months that Renata Reinsva has been a little bit more vulnerable than we expect because
I thought that too.
it's a really internal performance. It's a beautiful performance. I love it so much. And I've seen a lot of people saying like she's overdue. And I was like, okay. And I would not be surprised if it was the five women that I mentioned minus Renate and plug in Kate Hudson. I would not be surprised by that at all.
I think I would probably pick Jessie Buckley, Rose Byrne, Renata, Emma Stone, and Kate Hudson. I think that's what I'd probably, that's what I'm predicting.
That, those are my five as well. But I am, I still have this disquiet, and that's not a, a commentary on the performance at all, but I just don't know what to do with Jason Finney, because I don't think she belongs in the Best Actress race. I think they just threw her there because they had too many supporting actress candidates. I think she's very, very good in the film for a first kind of major performance. I think she's, you know, do I think she's doing anything that is, you know, just blowing my mind? And was she the best performance of the film from a female? No, I don't think she was at all. So, but I understand that she gets a lot of love from people.
Miles Caton's kind of the same way. I know. I think he, I thought he was really a, like a revelation in Sinners, but I know some people were like, "Oh, like why are they like?" I saw some people were grumbling, but like, why are they giving it to him? It's like this is his first film, and like you know, he's a blues musician. But I thought he was really good and memorable in that film. But I think it's kind of their similar roles where it's like, oh, do you really want to give them the Oscar nomination for their first film? I mean, it's been done, so it could be. I mean, look at like, well, I guess Lady Gaga did have some other stuff under her belt, but it's kind of, that's how I'm kind of feeling about it too.
I know this sounds a little bit like a long shot, but I wonder if there was like a big surprise, like a huge sort of unprecedented, hasn't gotten in any of the major things surprise. I wonder if it's Ava Victor. Only because
she got the Julia Roberts endorsement.
She got the Julia Roberts endorsement in the last moments before voting started today. Again, since I've been tabulating fantasy Oscars, she's been everywhere alongside Miles Caton and Chase Infinity with breakthrough things. That screenplay, I wonder if that screenplay can break into original screenplay, because that category is really tight right now, but I could see it knocking out something. So if I would say out on the shakiest of limbs, if I had to pick something that could be crazy, I would say it's Ava Victor.
That's interesting. I definitely think she could crash the original screenplay. And that screenplay is so good. It's such an interesting, the way I'm always thinking about the scene with the house, which I talked to her about too. Not to go all Mark Malkin and Kevin Frazier on you, to like I talked to her about, but like that was a scene that I thought was really well done and interesting and different. Because I think there's a version of that film that is forgettable. I do think like the way she does it and is approaches it is so fresh and interesting and unforgettable. So that's interesting. I would love to see. I do think that we're going to be in for some surprises, though. I do wonder if Miles Caton actually, you know, gets in for Best Supporting Actor. If it's depending on how much they love Sinners. I mean, that actor nomination is pretty exciting. And maybe it is just Chase Infinity, and they just go across the board for one battle after another, which would be exciting too. It really is a strong year for these performances.
So let's jump then to supporting actress, and I think I would love to see Miles Caton get in. But I think the most likely thing falling from the Actors Awards is that shows love for Wunmi Musuka's performance. And I'm hoping and praying that she gets in. Because I walked out of Sinners thinking she was the one from that film.
Yes.
I'm on record on this podcast when we saw it, saying that was the best performance of the film for me. And,
and
nobody talked about her. throughout the entire season, then all of a sudden there she is.
Yeah. I think she's even better than Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan's playing two roles, but I think she, you're right though. I think she was very unforgettable in that film. And 100%. Yeah. I also would love if it was a whole category of like half of them are witches, like if it's Ariana Grande, Woonmi, if it's Amy, can we get any other witches in this category? I just love that whole idea.
There's something in there with, this isn't witchery, but it's definitely nature. Let's throw in Emily Watson from Hamnet. Let's do it. Let's do some, I mean, I just feel that Nina Haas casts a spell on me every time I see her. So that's just gay, hyperbolic bullshit. But yeah, throw her in there. Why not? Wunmi Misaku has been so, I've loved her since His House. And she is just so, that came out, I think, what, 2020? So that was the pandemic year. So it was just, I saw it on Netflix. I've just been so, like, I'm so in love with her. She's such presence on screen. Mm-hmm. She, you know, we loved her in Lovecraft Country. I interviewed her for, not to, again, be Mark Malkin, but I interviewed her for We Own This City. She's just got this, like, not to sound cheesy, but like ferocity to her, such unbelievable presence. And I love, I don't know if you guys saw the picture of her and Haley Steinfeld last night with their baby bumps. And yes. I saw someone say congratulations to Smoke and Stack, and I just thought that was the funnest.
I thought that was so cute.
And she's, I don't know, I want to see her nominated so badly because she feels like an actor's actor. Like, people probably love working with her, and I'm dying for her to get nominated for that movie because she is in a lot of ways a lot of the heart of the Sinners.
It's weird that all of the supporting actors and actresses in this category, the contenders, are all kind of the heart of the film. Like, I think Teyonah Taylor is the heart of One Battle After Another. Ariana Grande is probably the heart of Wicked, for good. In some weird way, Gladys is the heart of Weapons.
Inga.
And, like,
Inga is the heart of Cinnamon.
Inga.
Yeah. And it's just interesting. And even Woonmi is the heart of Sinners. When she, spoiler alert, like, when she dies in it, I was like,
I was devastated.
Yeah. I was like, this was my girl. Like, so that's interesting to me though. Because then thinking about the actor category, like the SAG awards. Okay. I'm just going to say that because it's hard to talk about it. Odessa Azion, which now I was calling it wrong. Oh, Azion, it's Azion, is another new face that the SAGs are like kind of pushing these new faces, like Miles, like Chase and Odessa. Odessa is not the heart of Marty Supreme. I don't think Marty Supreme has a heart, but that's just
no, but it's doing what SAG always does, which is a bit broaden the contenders to show you there are, you know, people who actually vote on these things are thinking about other, you know, thinking about other types of performances. Now, you know, of course, I assume that the actors are based on a panel or a subset. It's not the entire body voting on that, but
yeah, probably.
But I think she's out of it. I'm not putting her in my top five, but I don't think she's necessarily out.
I want to talk about a tweet I saw last night that said, please. Well, RIP Amy Madigan's Oscar frontrunner status. I think now we've got a race. Like, yeah, we've got, like, I love seeing Teyonah Taylor win. But I saw somebody say that and I was kind of like, well, hold up there. Like, and this is when I tweeted that, like, okay, so the Golden Globes don't matter until they do matter. But I think more now it's just like, you know, it's getting interesting. I think we all knew that Gladys couldn't work her magic forever. Huh. Although I wonder if that would have been funny if at the table she was like broke off something or grabbed a piece of her hair as she walked.
They
by
should have done something with somebody running through the crowd like that with their arms.
Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity there. And maybe the Oscars will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it is a race now. And just before you jump in, Joey, I will say, I think there could be a scenario where you've got your Gladys camp, you've got your Perfina camp, and then you've got, that's right, am I saying that wrong?
Perfidia.
Perfidia, sorry. Perfidia. It's been a long time since I've seen the theme. I need to revisit it. And then BAFTA comes in and Inga wins for sentimental value. And then she takes that international vote straight away to a supporting actress win. But that, again, that is her first performance. So,
right. Yeah. It's hard to, or her first big performance or big kind of breakthrough performance, right? It's not her first performance, I don't think. Right.
I think she's done some things in Sweden. I don't think. Yeah. I think
Or Norway, right.
Norway, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, she, I don't know. I keep thinking of Amy Madigan winning at Critics' Choice, because the first thing she says when she gets up there, she was like, I didn't expect any of this. And I loved seeing her so excited for Teyana Taylor to win.
Yeah.
She was like cheering. I saw some stupid person think that I saw someone say, like, I love seeing Catherine O'Hara so excited for Teyana Taylor. that's a homophobic remark. How dare you mix up two actresses? I don't know. I would love to see Inga win something because I love her in that movie. She's my favorite performance in that movie. I don't like it when someone else wins something and everyone just assumes like, oh, well, the whole thing has shifted. Everything is different now.
I saw people saying Timothy Chalamet, he's got it in the bag now. And I'm like,
what happens then when Leo wins SAG? What happens?
Yeah.
No, Timothy's going all, I think Timothy is going all the way with this.
I mean, he probably is, but I don't think it's a sure thing. I don't. I think Wagner Moura is gaining some momentum.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love you.
I also think this is terrible, but it would be really funny if Timothée Chalamet thinks he's got it in the bag and then he doesn't at the last second. Why am I?
Somebody.
Oh, it's very like, it's very Marty Supreme type of thing. It'd be very meta for his character.
If he loses and then they go to commercial and they come back and he's holding a baby, I'm going to fucking kill somebody. Actually, that would be really funny if that happened.
It would be. It actually would be.
I don't think anything is in stone. It's Jesse Buckley. I think Jesse Buckley's the only one that's going to, I'm like 100% sure. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think actress is the one. Like, no, there's usually one person who does every single thing, and we haven't seen that yet, other than Jesse Buckley. So if it's her, fine.
And also, we've got 2 months out, and it's like, how much fatigue are we going to have with some of these personalities by then?
I mean, there's only so many more opportunities for Timothée Chalamet although he is creating viral campaign moments for himself, which I don't know help him.
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. I'm just wondering if it's going to, you almost with these campaigns, you don't want to be the front runner for too long. And I don't know.
Sometimes I think Best Actor has just been tarnished because Brendan Fraser won for The Whale. Best Actor has been on has had some tough moments in the last 10 years. So I'll just say that. That's a different conversation. But supporting actress, I think, is a real race, and it'll be very interesting because I don't necessarily think the Golden Globes were going to come in with a career award for an actress they've never recognized before. So,
That's
yeah.
true. Yeah.
Although,
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm looking at
yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm
What?
just looking at some of these best actor ones are rough.
Yeah.
Oof.
Like what? Which one?
Rami
Oh, I
Malek.
don't know. Like Joaquin Phoenix for Joker, Rami Malek for Bohemian
Oh.
Rhapsody.
Oh, I forgot all of these.
I don't know. I mean, there's some really great ones like Anthony Hopkins,
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy. I guess
Yes.
maybe the camps are split on Will Smith. I don't know why that would have any sort of historical significance hanging over it. Who knows? Yeah, I told Megan earlier, and I think Timothée Chalamet is a really good actor. I know he's going to win an Oscar. If not this year, he has an Oscar in his future. Please give it to him so I have to so I don't have to please just give it to him. At this point, go away.
At least he gave a more humble speech
Yes.
this time.
Yeah.
And he didn't
I
say
do wonder if
something like,
somebody
I earned
said
this. I
something.
deserve this.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, Megan. What?
I bet he's got people in his pocket helping him, like, hey, you got to tone this down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. All right. Anything else on supporting actress? So, did we list our five?
No, but I list mine. So I've
Okay, go
got,
ahead.
in no particular order, Amy Madig. Well, Amy Madig and Teyana Taylor have them kind of tied. This is who I think is going to be in it. Inga, I think Woonmi is going to get in. I think Ariana Grande. Those are my five.
I have the same five.
I actually have the same five as well. So, Joey, you dropped Elle Fanning
I did.
or Woon Mi. All right,
That
fair enough.
category's so good. If those are the
So
five, that would
geeky.
be what?
I know, that would be such a good category. It's, it
That
would
would be
be like,
such a I would love
yeah.
that so much.
If they don't cast some spells on the Oscar stage between the three of those witches,
Like,
that's
I hope somebody brings it up. Like, come on, somebody
maybe
has to
Stevie
bring it
Nicks
up.
will just come out. Maybe that'll happen.
Yes.
Or maybe Nicole Kidman and
Practical
Sandra
Magic.
Bullock.
That would be the
Sandra Bullock
perfect
will come.
moment.
They will come and
Someone
announce
con
it.
Yes.
Oh my God, someone contact the producers right now.
Yes. Yes. This is the
No, this is the whole show.
clip. No, I meant this is the clip for
Oh.
our podcast. So we could like send this out into the world.
Yes, let's manifest, people. Let's manifest.
Yes.
All right.
Also, that was so bizarre with the Golden Globes, where they're like, what are you manifesting this year? Did you hear, like,
No.
during the red carpet, that's what they asked everybody. What are you manifesting?
It's a big
Like, my
thing
fist to your
lately.
face. Would you say I'm sorry?
Manifesting is a big deal right now. Manifesting is
It
having a
is.
moment.
It totally is having a moment as somebody who's trying to manifest things in her life. But I'm also like, I'm not going to go on a red carpet or do an interview and be like, what are you manifesting?
Lord.
I'm manifesting. Well, anyway, let's not go there. All right. Let's jump to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And Megan, why don't you go first?
1,000 Pound Sisters is back, and they are not talking to each other. And it's,
Oh, no.
I'm really upset. I also started watching Strange Addiction. I'm just really, really swirling down the toilet of television, right? No, 1,000 Pound Sisters, I stand by that show. I love that show. Strange Addiction, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I'm like enjoying it. But I don't know what else, if anything else that's coming out this RuPaul's Drag Race is good this
Good
season.
season.
The Queens are amazing. I'm trying to think of anything else that I'm looking forward to this weekend. New Robin music is incredible. And I probably have movies to watch and things to watch and trying to catch up on things, but that's probably about it. And I need a new book to read. I finished my last one, so I need a new book to read. I got to figure out. what I'm going to read next.
Joey?
My goal is to relax a little this week. There are some movies that I really want to watch. I remember in early December or mid-December, people were declaring the new 28 years later the best movie, the best first movie of 2026. I'm like, guys, it's not even Christmas. So I'm excited to see that comes out. I really want to see Primate.
I feel like it'll make me sad because I like Chimp Crazy.
Oh, really? Okay. I don't know really anything. I haven't seen a trailer. I just saw people reacting to it.
I love monkeys.
It's Cujo with monkeys, right?
I mean, he gets
I'm not gonna like
goes
that.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're not gonna
people.
Like that.
Oh
yeah.
No. Watch that. Never mind.
No, I can't watch it.
I'm still making my way through Stranger Things. I haven't watched the season premiere of The Pitt yet, so I'm excited to watch that.
Oh. First episode's really good.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I need to catch up on Industry too. Sorry to jump in. I need to catch up on Industry.
I know David just got into that show. He messaged me and he was like, "Have you heard?" He was like, "Have you been watching Industry?" I was like, "No, it'll be another show that'll make me feel stupid and I'll turn it off." And he was like, "He was like, why hasn't no one told me about the show?" And I was like, "The internet was telling me." I don't know.
David, I'm gonna have to text him about
David.
That.
I've caught up with all the shortlisted shorts. That literal weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I did a podcast with Abe Freetanzer of Awards Buzz. And Daniel Howitt of Next Best Picture that'll be dropping this week, where it's like an hour and a half of us talking about very positively about every single thing, all 45 short films that are shortlisted, so people can tune into that. That's it.
Excellent. I very much looking forward to the second episode of The Pitt. Loved the first episode of this season. I had to watch part of it over, because there are some scenes that I just really loved so much. And I think it's setting up this really interesting story with the I don't want to spoil anything at all for Joey. So yes, with the new character. Yes.
Who I recognized her. She was on Blackbird and she really popped on that show. I think she's the FBI agent. On there. She's great. But, love that.
Looking
actress.
Forward to the second episode of that, and I have downloaded select episodes of Amy Poehler's Good Hang podcast. I need to finally start to listen to them now that she's a Golden Globe winner. Not that I needed that to influence my decision. No movies this week for me because I'm taking my children to Orlando this weekend. For a little beginning of the second semester of the school year surprise. So I mean, they know they're going, but we're gonna go to
say, don't let them listen to this podcast.
Oh no, please, they don't listen to this podcast.
Do you think that when you go to Orlando, like someone in Orlando's like ears perk up and they're like, Clarence Moy is back? Clarence Moy is here. No. Everybody shape up. Clarence Moy is here. You gotta make sure his experience is great.
So I'm gonna listen to the podcast, and then I started the Dan Brown book Inferno, as I mentioned before.
Oh,
I'm doing
great.
The Robert Langdon series catch up, so I started that. So that's what I'm looking forward to this week, and trying not to get the flu before I go to Florida.
Yeah.
Because I'll still go. I'll just be very contagious.
So if you see Clarence in Orlando, give him a big kiss on the mouth.
No, I can get sick after there. That's fine. I can catch something there. I just need to get there. And
yes.
I just need to go through Saturday. And then if I'm sick on Sunday, I'm sick on Sunday. But I have to just get there. So anyway, knock on wood, manifesting health.
Ding. And Gladys, ding.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll be breaking some branches to some motherfucker that gets me sick.
Is that a super short flight?
Yeah, it's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh nice.
Yeah,
just curious.
So all right, does that cover it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the 3Ms, contending co-founders, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy. Thanking you for joining us. Asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, including YouTube. Click like and subscribe. And wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.